Senate Commerce will please come to order. Will the Secretary please take the roll?
Senators Abdallah.
Here.
Dempster.
Here.
Davis.
Here.
Hetzel.
Here.
Durbach.
Here.
Gray.
Here.
McCracken.
Here. Quorum present. I'd like to have a motion for the approval of the minutes in the last meeting. There's a motion by Senator Dempster regarding the minutes. There's a second by Senator Kadis. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. For those of you listening on the Internet, sometimes you might wonder why we post up a number of bills, a lot of bills for the agenda, because by the time you get to the committee hearing, you have deferred a few of those bills, and today is no different. So I'd like to just share with you Senate Bill number 10. We're going to defer that until Tuesday, the 23rd. Senate Bill 47. We're going to defer that until Tuesday, the 23rd. And Senate Bill 48. We're going to defer that until 1:25, which should be Thursday, a week from today.
That was 10:47 and
10:47 and 48. Okay, and I have that all down. With that, then, I think we are ready to, and anybody that's going to testify as a proponent or opponent, please sign the register. And with that, I think we're ready to get started. And the first one talks about claims and information on property casualty insurance, Department of Revenue and Regulation, Senate Bill 39. Proponents of Senate Bill 39.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I'm Roel Shiro, with Director of Insurance. Director for the Division of Insurance. What you have before you is Senate Bill 39. It's an act to provide claims information to commercial property and casualty insureds. Currently, purchasers of commercial property casualty insurance do not have the right to access reports of their claim experience. Therefore, insurance companies do not have to honor requests for claims information for these businesses. This leaves some businesses without the ability to adequately seek bid on their insurance and obtain the most effective commercial coverage. The bill would correct the problem of requiring insurance companies to provide claim information to their commercial policyholders upon their request. Businesses already have the right to access claim information on their group health insurance, so this legislation simply extends that requirement to their property and casualty coverages. Last year, we did have a bill similar, like it says here, for health insurance, which include TPAs, et cetera, and life insurance, that has the same effect on the companies. When the insureds require or request it, they are obligated then to share that claim information, which is the insured's experience or history. With that.
Okay, questions from the committee, Commissioner Schreiber? Questions from the committee. Senator Dempster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Why haven't we done this before?
It's a good question. I do not know why we have it. Basically, the industry has always tried to keep up and accommodate the commercial and the life insurance industry, and it's sharing those life or sharing those claims experiences. But there have been problems arising in the past where insureds have not been able to get a timely renewal or competitive quotes because of lateness within sharing those claims information. And more companies nowadays are requiring the claim information in order to even begin underwriting an account.
Sure, but if this is so important, why didn't we do this 3 years ago, 5 years ago? Why don't we have access to, why don't we have the same transparency with property casualty that we have with other insurance?
Yeah. Senator, I've been here 18 months, Senator, so I really don't know the history behind that. I just know that last year we attempted to correct the problem, and this year we're extending it to all lines of insurance, which includes property and casualty now. So I really don't know the history behind it. I apologize for that.
Further questions from the committee for Mr. Schreiber? Senator Turbeck.
Given the electronic storage of data, is it fair to assume that the burden on the insurers to comply with this would be very, very slight?
Yes, Senator. It would be very, very slight, basically. A lot of them, the companies, I come from the industry, so I know a lot of companies have electronic format. They have firewalls, basically, so that you only go so far into it, but you can go right online and acquire your information. So this is not a burden on most of the companies with the electronic day and age.
Further questions in committee for Mr. Schreiber? Further questions? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Schreiber. Is there further proponents of Senate Bill 39? Further proponents of Senate Bill 39? Seeing none. Are there opponents to Senate Bill 39? Opponents to Senate Bill 39? Seeing none. We'll close the committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 39. Discussion and or action. Senator Turbeck. Senator Turback has moved do pass on 39. There's a second by Senator Dempster. Discussion? Hearing none. The Secretary will take the roll. All in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Abdallah?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Kadis?
Aye.
Kotek?
You okay?
Hetzel?
Aye.
Turback?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Aye. 7-0?
7-0.
7-0. Further action. Senator Dempster moves consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Kadis. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Senate Bill 39 is going on the consent calendar. Senator Dempster, would you explain that in the caucus, in our caucus? And Senator Turback, would you take it in yours, please? Thank you very much. We are now ready to move to Senate Bill 44, Division of Department of Revenue Regulation, talking about criminal background checks for employees for certain persons that are employed. Proponents of Senate Bill 44.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Roger Novotny, the Director of the Division of Banking, and this is a Division of Banking bill. It's probably one of those bills that we probably should have passed and introduced a long time ago, but it's come to a head at this point in time. It's basically to give us the authority to require our applicants for positions and the Division of Employees to go through a background check through DCI and the FBI. We need specific statutory authority to do that with the FBI. And obviously, as you may know, bank examiners look at all kinds of confidential information when they're in the bank. So we need to check on these folks to make sure things are okay. I should qualify and say we've not had any problems with employees. This is just a risk prevention measure.
Okay. Questions from the committee for Mr. Novotny. Senator Gray.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mr. Novotny, can you tell us how many background checks? It's just for your employees, I presume, so not a lot. And secondly, have you gone through the FBI pre-clearance yet? I think they require pre-clearance prior to having the state do them. Is that correct?
We have 16 employees in the Division of Banking, and we have worked with DCI and the FBI in reference to the current staff to make sure that we are appropriately background checked so that we can access the FinCEN database in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Answer your question. Further questions from the committee for Mr. Novotny. Senator Kadis.
I have a long background with background checks. I'm not always very favorable towards them. I was given a full CIA field review as a Peace Corps volunteer 45 years ago. They dug into stuff way beyond criminality. So I'm always leery of the privacy. And I don't know if you have any idea of the process of either DCI or FBI and how far these go. Clearly criminality should be reviewed, but my personal experience is at least with that one, it got way over the edge into personal areas that they had no business looking at. So just a concern, and I don't know if you have any knowledge of the processes.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Novotny.
I'm not sure I'm necessarily an expert in background investigations, but I would not foresee anything where we would go too deep or do anything that would be inappropriate. Again, it's just a risk prevention measure so that we make sure that the employees that are employed by the state that are looking at all these records don't have a particular record in their background that might be controversial in reference to the bank records they review.
Further questions from the committee for Mr. Novotny? Further questions from the committee for Mr. Novotny? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Novotny. Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 44? Further proponents of Senate Bill 44? Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 44? Opponents to Senate Bill 34? Seeing none, we'll close the committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 44. Senator Gray.
Mr. Chairman, move due pass on Senate Bill 44.
Due pass on Senate Bill 44 by Senator Gray. There's a second by Senator Abdallah. Discussion. Senator Ketzel.
Thank you. I know Senator Abdallah and I had discussed this at length. And one of the concerns that we share is the fact that at some point in time, I don't know where all these criminals are going to work.
Thank you for that comment.
That's how big
this started. Are you still sitting? Senator. Senator Turbak, I do have a question with the comment that was made like that. Do you think he should be providing anything?
I was going to move that.
No, wait a minute.
You're out of order. Senator Turbak has the floor.
Who gave it to him?
I moved Senator Abdallah provide baklava for everyone at the next meeting, along with mea culpas for disparaging the fine unions of this state.
Is there a second on...
I have a substitute motion. I move it to the table.
Oh, so be it. Okay. Okay, we have a... We have a due pass on Senate Bill 44. Further discussion to the committee? Seeing none. The secretary will take the roll. All in favor of the due pass on Senate Bill 44 will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Abdallah?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Kadis?
No.
Ketzel?
Aye.
Turbak?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
6-1.
Senate Bill 44 will go to the floor, due pass. Senator Kadis, would you explain that bill in your caucus, please?
Yes, I will.
Okay, thank you very much. And Senator Abdallah, would you take it in the other? Thank you very much. Okay. We are now ready to move to Senate Bill 45, which talks about state chartered savings and loan associations. Again, it's the Department of Revenue. Proponents regarding Senate Bill 45.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Roger Novotny, the Director of the Division of Banking. Again, this is a Division of Banking bill. It's a real short bill, but in essence, it is repealing a large section of law dealing with savings and loan associations in South Dakota. And we have not had any savings and loans in South Dakota for 10 years or better. Most of the savings and loans that existed went out of business in the 1980s. The statutes are very outdated. The federal law is much more modern than ours, and if somebody wants to charter a savings loan, that's where they'd go anyway. So if we ever want to come back and put in a new section of law here, I'm sure the industry will work with us to make sure that we have modern law. But this whole section, I kind of was going to illustrate how much law we're dealing with, about 130 pages of statutes that are really no longer needed, and it makes me nervous when we have that kind of law in the books at this point in time.
Very good. Questions from the committee for Mr. Novotny? Questions from the committee for Mr. Novotny? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Novotny. Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 45? Further proponents of Senate Bill 45?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Kurt Everson, South Dakota Bankers Association. Very quickly, we are supportive of the repeal of this section of the code. As Director Novotny said, it is unused. We do have, however, I think four federally chartered savings and loans or thrifts who do operate in South Dakota, and probably they would be the likely ones to have some interest in maybe reenacting a state chartered thrift concept at some point down the road. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the committee for Mr. Everson. Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Everson. Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 45? Further proponents of Senate Bill 45? Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 45? Opponents to Senate Bill 45? Seeing none, we'll close the committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 45. Senator Dempster.
Due pass.
Senator Dempster has a motion due pass on 45, second by Senator Turbak. Discussion? Hearing none. Secretary, please take the roll. All in favor of the due pass on Senate Bill 45 will say yay. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Abdallah.
Aye.
Dempster.
Aye.
Kadis.
Aye.
Ketzel.
Aye.
Turbak.
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye. 7-0. Further action on Senate Bill 45. Senator Dempster. Move consent. Is there a second? Second by Senator Abdallah. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Senate Bill 45 is going on the consent calendar. Senator Gray, would you care to explain that one if it would come up? Okay. And Senator Ketzel, would you care to explain that in your caucus also?
Very much.
Okay, thank you. Dempster was on the consent. Okay, we are now ready to move to Senate Bill 46. It clarifies tax-exempt and licensure status of fraternal benefit societies. Department of Revenue and Regulation. Proponents of Senate Bill 46.
Mr. Chairman, Randy Moses, Division of Insurance, Department of Revenue and Regulation. Senate Bill 46 deals with fraternal insurance companies. These are companies that have various affiliations. They're formed by religious organizations. For instance, there's Thrivent, which is the Lutherans, Catholic Aid Society for the Catholics. A number of these, some of them are based upon occupations and various things. Anyway, when we were looking, or a matter of fact, it was brought to our attention last year that we had an incorrect cross-reference in our code, that when the fraternal chapter was completely rewritten a few years back, we didn't go back to the tax code and change the cross-reference to the old to the statute. So the current tax code reference for premium taxes has the old chapter rather than the new fraternal chapter. So that's what the first section's about. The second section of the bill, we also brought to our attention last year that there are certain fraternal companies operating out there that have been exempted from licensure. Some of them we didn't really feel that there was much of a need to exempt that to them from licensure. Fraternals have their own chapter. They are regulated. We do require that they, you know, do certain things as from a financial and licensing perspective. But there's some kinds of organizations that are completely exempt from licensure whatsoever. And one of those, where we're talking about people who get together from an occupational standpoint, we really didn't think that that was appropriate. That those be completely exempt from licensure. We feel that the people insured by those products should have the consumer protection that people buying from other fraternals would have. So we sought to remove that exemption. The fraternals did have some concerns about just completely removing the exemption. So what you see is some compromise language. Basically what it does is grandfather in the ones that are exempt and not licensed, but any new ones will need to be licensed, and those that are currently licensed will have to retain their license in order to continue doing business. So that's really what the bill does is change the ballgame for those type of fraternals, remove the exemption, but grandfather the ones that are not licensed. With that, I'd answer any questions.
Questions from the committee for Mr. Moses. Senator Turbak.
What is the difference between a license and a certificate of authority?
The terms are basically interchangeable. Certificate of authority is a technical term that in the insurance world we use for a license for an insurance company.
Thank you.
Senator Dempster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Why would you grandfather?
The concern by the fraternals was that there's some out there that never have been licensed. They've been operating, they've been selling policies, and it would be unfair to them to all of a sudden make them go through a bunch of hoops when they may only have just a mere handful of policyholders out there. To require them to do so would be a bit onerous. So that was the concern they had, and we agreed that we would at least correct this thing from a going forward basis rather than trying to bring those in as well.
Senator Kadis.
Mr. Moses, do you know who all these fraternal groups are? You're talking about some large, legitimate ones, if you will, and maybe they're all legitimate, but do you know who they are, the small operators you're talking about? Is there any transparent listing anywhere that you...
Of the ones that are licensed, we certainly know who they are, but the ones that are exempt, no, we do not know who all of them are. So there could be some small ones operating out there that we had no knowledge about. Matter of fact, we just ran across one last year, which kind of brought this whole thing to our attention that we had not previously been aware of.
Follow-up, Senator Kadis.
Well, I guess along the lines of Senator Dempster's view then, why the grandfathering? If you don't even know who they are, it would seem to me it might be a value to require that for some consistency and professionalism.
I guess the thinking is, Senator, that we've managed to get by this long with those existing ones, and they hadn't caused us trouble thus far, but we didn't want to perpetuate it in the future.
Okay, answer your question, Senator Kadis?
Well, just one final.
A follow-up, Senator Kadis.
But you still don't even know who they are?
Unfortunately, Senator, that's correct.
Oof. Further questions in the committee for Mr. Moses? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Moses. Further proponents of Senate Bill 46. Further proponents of Senate Bill 46.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Lauren Pankratz, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Fraternal Congress. We appreciate the division bringing this legislation forward. Mr. Moses, I think, adequately explained it, and we support the legislation as it's drafted.
Okay. Questions to the committee for Mr. Pankratz. Senator Kadis.
Mr. Pankratz, do you know who they are?
Mr. Chairman, would you care to answer, Mr. Pankratz?
I would care to answer, and no, I do not.
Okay. Senator Dempster.
Same question with respect to grandfathering. What would happen if we remove the grandfathering? Not that I'm advocating that.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it in discussions with Mr. Moses and some of the folks at the National Fraternal Congress, there may have been an inquiry by someone who wanted to be involved in insurance as a fraternal in South Dakota, and believed that they would be able to be exempt under the current statute. And so that's why this language is here, saying that if you were in an exempt status prior to this, even if they don't know who they may be, there are some fraternals and organizations in South Dakota that are licensed that may only have a half a dozen policies. But we didn't feel that it was appropriate that someone else may want to come into the state and believe that they would be entitled to an exempt status. And so if it was questionable, then they would not, they'd be excluded in the future from being able to be exempted. So.
Further questions of the committee for Mr. Pankratz? Senator Trebek.
Mr. Pankratz, just tell me a little bit about who some of the clients are in the Congress. I mean, I assume that's a voluntary organization.
The Fraternal Congress is, Mr. Chairman, the Fraternal Congress, both in South Dakota and on the national level, it'd be similar to a trade association. They represent the member organizations, and as Mr. Moses said, Thrivent is one, which 4 or 5 years ago was a combination of Aid Association for Lutheran, Lutheran Brotherhood. I don't know all of them, and there's probably 30 or 40 of them in South Dakota, Modern Woodmen. So it's a trade association similar to other groups, if that answers your question. Senator.
Okay. Further questions for Mr. Pankratz? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Pankratz. Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 46? Further proponents of Senate Bill 46? Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 46? Opponents to Senate Bill 46? Seeing none, we will close the committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 46. We will close the committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 46.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gray.
Move due pass on Senate Bill 46.
Senator Gray has moved due pass on Senate Bill 46. Is a second by Senator Dempster. Discussion. Seeing none. Secretary will take the roll. All in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Abdallah.
Aye.
Dempster.
Aye.
Kadis.
Aye.
Ketzel.
Aye.
Turbat.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye. 7-0. Further action on Senate Bill 46. Senator Dempster has moved to consent calendar. There's a second by Senator Gray. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate Bill 46 will go on the consent calendar. I will take that one. And Senator Turback, would you also take it in your caucus?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Senator Turback. I believe that concludes our calendar today with the three deferrals. So thanks to the committee for doing their due diligence and taking care of all this before we got here. A motion for adjournment. Senator Dempster has a motion for adjournment. There's a second by Senator Kadis. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.